Hello. Yep, as he said, if I haven't met you yet, my name is Vicky. I get to work with the middle school and high school groups here, along with Angie and Justin that you saw earlier on staff, and a handful of great volunteers. So I thought this would be a good time to share with you one of my biggest mistakes as a ministry leader. But just for balance sake, I will share one of my greatest joys in student ministry later on. I used to dean this summer camp, 1 week of summer camp. And so as the dean, I was ultimately responsible for the entire schedule and the teachings and the prepping and activities and leading the counselors who would then lead our middle school aged campers. So when we left a camper behind on a field trip, it was ultimately my fault, right? That's how that works. We had taken about 50 students an hour away from Storm Mountain Camp to Harney Peak in South Dakota. It's called Black Elk now. And we had one bus and one van to fit them all, right? So we hiked and we picnicked and we swam. It was a great day. And when it was time to go, we loaded up the bus and the van, and I didn't realize that one boy had gotten off the bus, gotten onto the van, so I counted him twice, right? Which means I counted little seventh grade Kylie exactly zero times. Kylie would later describe this like classic movie scene of hearing the bus leave when she was in the park bathroom, and she runs out and is like running behind it, flailing her arms, but we didn't see her, we didn't hear her, and she was left behind. This was pre-cell phone days, right? So it was an hour-long drive back to the camp, and when we pulled into the parking lot, the director there met us in the lot and said, "You missed one." So Brandon and I jump into a different car, and we go back to Harney Peak. It only took like 40 minutes that time somehow. And I tell you what, during that whole drive, I didn't have a single concern for the 49 campers left back with their counselors at the campsite, right? Our only focus and goal was getting this little lost girl and bringing her safely back to the group, which we did. She was fine. I choose to believe we didn't scar her for life. Ironically, though, Brandon's favorite part of this story is definitely that that child had come to camp that week on medication for separation anxiety. Like, that's the worst kid to lose, seriously. How of all of the kids, that's the one we lost. But, I mean, they must have been pretty good meds because she stayed calm, she made good choices, everything was all right, it was okay. So we brought her back to the camp, and the whole group just started cheering when we walked in with this girl, right? And a couple of friends apologized that they didn't notice she was missing from the bus. They actually gave her this T-shirt with a little Nemo fish on it that said, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." I thought that was really funny. She did not. But anyway, thought I'd share that with you because our scripture reading tonight made me think of poor lost Kylie. We are continuing the stories that we hear in Luke's diner by exploring the parables, these deeply layered stories that Jesus taught throughout the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to start our reading today in chapter 15. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So in the diner today, we overhear the religious leaders grumbling and gossiping about what table Jesus is sitting at, who Jesus is eating with. Not a big surprise, right? We see this attitude a couple times throughout the New Testament. Now, when I'm trying to be like charitable towards the Pharisees, I remember that they are doing their very best to maintain religious purity, right? They are trying to follow the laws. So you can kind of understand how they made this decision to not associate with people that they considered unclean or these notorious sinners. Jesus, however, is not impressed with their religious rule following. He sees how this is leading them to look down on others, to draw lines between us and them. And anyone who's woke to injustice, they would call this othering, right? Making people feel like they are on the outside of the group. So Jesus tells this story to explain exactly why he does hang out with the outsiders. This is our parable for tonight. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." So Jesus himself is in the role of shepherd here, who leaves the flock together in a safe place and goes to find the one missing sheep. That one, alone, away from the group, potentially in danger, that's the one that needs the shepherd the most. And the passage says that he will search until he finds it. He won't give up. He will find that lost soul. This feels like really good news to any of us who have maybe wandered off to someplace we shouldn't be. Any of us notorious sinners that from time to time are disconnected or lonely or in danger. We too need a shepherd to rescue us and return us to community. I don't know if this sounded like good news to the Pharisees that Jesus was speaking to. I wonder if they at all felt convicted that the people they were avoiding are the very ones that God is seeking. I wonder if they caught that. In case they were missing the analogy, Jesus explains it further. He says, in the same way, there is joy, more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So here we see the Pharisees who won't even sit down and eat with these others. But the angels in heaven, they jump to their feet and rejoice when the lost are found. What do we do? Do we, like Jesus, find opportunities to meet with and eat with folks who might be othered in our own communities, in our schools or in our workplaces, in our families, even here at church? There are people who are disconnected and lonely and made to feel like they're on the outside. But over and over in Scripture, we see that God gives special attention, special concern to those that are on the margins. The Bible tells us to do the same. So have we grown a habit in our lives to look around and realize who's not on the bus yet? Who are we missing? In this way, I feel like we get to be the shepherds too. Like we get to befriend and listen to and walk with people as they are finding their way back to Jesus and back to true community. Which brings me to the best part of my job. Sometimes I get a front row seat to those heaven-sent parties when the lost are found. I have some great memories of times I've been so lucky to pray with students as they give their lives to the Lord. Some of these parties start with tears of repentance. At that same camp where Kylie was literally lost and found, I got to pray with this young man who was just entirely overwhelmed by the realization that God loved him, that Jesus wanted him, and that he could be forgiven. And that realization led to a lot of tears that night. When all the campers were down that night and I got ready for bed, I had my own realization that sometimes a really good day in ministry ends with like a sleeve full of teenage snot. It's probably not a very good endorsement of student ministry, but if you're jealous of that, we're open to taking more volunteers if that really speaks to you. But other divine encounters that I've gotten to be a part of come a lot more quietly, even shyly sometimes. Just a couple years ago, I was on a confirmation retreat with legacy students from here, and we had a night of worship and prayer, and we invited kids to come pray with us if they wanted to take a step closer to God, and some came, and we prayed. But there's one boy sitting on the couch. He was sitting with three other kids squished into this small couch, and I saw him like start to stand up, but then lose confidence and sink back down. And our eyes met, and I could just see the question, like the need in his face. But he couldn't overcome the social pressure to stand up and walk across the room when those other kids on the couch weren't moving. So I caught him in the hall later that evening, and I said, gosh, I kind of felt like you were going to come pray with me tonight, but you didn't. And he said, yeah, I wanted to, but I didn't. I don't know why I didn't. And I said, well, okay. Just kind of challenged him to don't leave this weekend without handling your business with God, right? Figure it out. And we went out to bed. And the next morning, I was kind of back on my to-do list. You know, I was working my itinerary of whatever we had going on the retreat. I wasn't thinking much about it. I mean, come on, clearly God's not going to leave this little lamb wandering for long, right? I should have known. But later that afternoon, we were filming the students, giving their reactions to confirmation, making our church video. And this same boy, he comes in, he films his piece. I check him off my list, and he's about to go. He kind of lingers in the doorway. He turns around, and he says, Vicky, is it too late to do that pray to Jesus thing? That's just like the sweetest sentence ever. Sometimes I just say it to myself. Oh, so nice. No, buddy. In fact, it is not too late. So we sat down on the same couch he couldn't get off of the night before, and we prayed that he would be rescued from his sin, that he would be reconciled to the God who has always loved him. What a reason to celebrate, huh? Our scripture finishes up in verse 10. It says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Maybe some of us here today feel like lost sheep in need of a shepherd. Maybe you've heard Jesus calling for you, searching for you, but you just keep hiding for whatever reason. Maybe you have some unfinished business with God. I implore you to take it from a teenager. It is not too late to do that pray to Jesus thing. You don't have to stay lost. You can be found. And we will all get to join with heaven in rejoicing with you as we welcome you into the fold. If I'm talking to you tonight, whether you're a kid or a teenager or an adult, I hope you'll pray with me in just a moment. On the other hand, if you are part of those 99 sheep that are already safely connected in a good relationship with your God and with your community, then please pray lovingly for others nearby that might be wandering, that might be alone. Let's pray. God, you are so good to search for those who are lost. You search for me when I'm lost. I know I've been disconnected from you, Lord, because of my sin, because I've wandered away. Please forgive me. Sometimes I didn't even realize you were looking for me. I've been trying to figure this life out alone, and honestly, it's not going so well. Holy Spirit, come into my life, come into my heart, and lead me. Thank you, Jesus, for wanting me, for loving me, for welcoming me into your family. From here on forward, I need you to be my Lord, my leader, my God. Amen. Amen. If the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart tonight and you were able to just pray that prayer and really mean it, would you please share that with someone? You can come chat to staff or leaders after. You can write it on your Connect card, or Rita from the prayer team is going to be up here after service if you want to talk with her. I always tell our students that starting a new relationship with Jesus is really personal. Only you can make that decision for yourself, but it's not private. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be something the whole church can celebrate and rejoice with you and help you get started on a new journey. So how about it, church? If we had some lost sheep be found here tonight, how do we celebrate and welcome them? What do you think it sounds like in heaven tonight?